Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch with me, as you always are, Fridays, 11 in the morning here in beautiful Los Angeles, our studios of LA Talk Radio. Good morning, everybody, or afternoon or evening or wherever you are listening in the world. Get ready for a great show, as always. We're going to have some inspiration today, as we always do, about how to live a longer, healthier, better life in general, because I have an expert today, an amazing author as well, and he's going to share information and wisdom to you all about just being a happier, healthier, just great person to live a life and make things happen for you still, no matter what your age is. So let me ask you a couple of questions, guys. Straight from the heart, huh? Are you living your life full on? New? In the morning when you first realize that you're awake, does your heart beat a little faster because you're so excited for a new day? Or do you wake up and say, I got to do this and I got to do that? Let me ask you some other questions. Think about these things, guys. Have you been pushed or allowed yourself to be influenced by others' opinions or assessments of you into making choices that turned out to be not the best for you? I hear this all the time from my clients who come to see me. You know, well, I was supposed to be this, and I felt pressured by society to be that, and I'm just not happy. Well, duh! Let me ask you something else here. Are you doing something with your life and your time that is not what excites you, but it's based on ideas or conclusions that you made a long time ago? Did you settle? Did you make excuses for yourself? Well, now it's time to learn how to not do that anymore. Snap out of it with my special guest today. Let me just introduce him here. His name is Arsen Marsubian. You might have heard of him. He is an amazing public speaker, and he's had several successful careers. At age 81, he's just sped up rather than slowed down. He's doing everything. And most people his age have kind of slowed down a little bit. And despite numerous heart attacks, surgeries, and even a near-death experience, which he will share with us, Arsen has chosen to live full on and share his secrets of how to have a long and rich life. So he's an international motivational speaker, mentor, author, and he's had many decades of experience helping others. He's worked in local government, the mental health industry, as well as the private sector. And, of course, he's going to share his wealth of knowledge today with you. So, guys, take notes. Or, of course, you can replay and download this show right after it airs live here on LA Talk Radio in my webpage archives. That's all you have to do. And, by the way, I want to just share with you also that my special guest, Arsen, or as we call him, Papa Soob, we're going to talk about that too, has authored other books. You might have seen them, including Beating Taxes and Cheating Death, Insider Information on Life Insurance, and Dare to Be a Difference Maker, Volume 2. Also, he has another book coming out, A Heartbeat Away. Are you ready? And he speaks a lot on living the time of your life right now, making the rest of your life the best of your life, on and on. And we're going to find out more about that as I bring his mic up here. And Papa Soob, Arsen Marsubian, thank you for coming on the show live today. It's nice to have you.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Michael. Man, I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say.
You're a moment-by-moment kind of guy, aren't you?
That was fantastic interview. I appreciate that. Wow. Oh,
well, you're welcome.
Gotta write that down.
Hey, you know what? What I do is I do these things called going online and reading bios. So, and I read your book. It's called Don't Die: Three Essential Truths for Your Fulfilled and Happy Life. And that's what we're talking about today, guys. You don't want to die unhappy. You know, that's kind of a icky thing to think about. But I mean, you know what? Let's face it. We got to do the best we can with what we've got left here, right? That's
exactly
the deal. So, by the way, I wanted to just ask you, what's Papa Soob all about? S-O-O-B. Why do you call yourself that? What is that, Papa?
Well, the Papa is easy. That's because just the longevity set in, and I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
But the Soob is the name for my company.
Oh.
And it's an acronym, even though it's the middle part of my name when people see the Marsubian.
Oh yeah.
And it was a nickname that some of my children had.
Hmm.
Early on, but when I got into the speaking and the internet world and started the Papa Soob, and I started my company, I created an acronym that stands for S is the success on a daily basis.
Oh, I like it.
The first O is optimism as a philosophy of life.
Yes.
And
like
I'm a life member of Optimist International, by the way.
Good.
And the second O is overachieve in every task.
Ooh, okay.
And the third, and the B, is a belief in the God of the universe.
Mm.
So that's what a Soob is. And,
oh.
I can speak to businesses and programs, and we really take all... We take that Soob and break it down.
That's right.
And talk about how that applies to their business.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that, because you do have to add the higher power in there, don't you? You
yes.
know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes we have to give it up and just allow for that energy and that higher power to just take over and with what we've brought out there in the world to help us become more of what we would like to be. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So, Papa Soob, tell me, and everybody else listening right now, by the way, guys, if you want to email us while we're live on the air and you have any questions for Papa Soob or myself, you can do so. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, just like it sounds, straighttalkdoc@gmail. And we're taking emails rather than live calls today. So go ahead, guys, if you're shy. You don't want to get your voice on the air, please email us with other questions. So let's get started and find out what was it that inspired you to write this whole book about the truths of living a fulfilled life?
Well, it's really an interesting story. I'll try to make it short. One is, once I started speaking again, and I was 74, age 74 when I decided to come out of retirement and playing a lot of golf and try to pursue a career that I thought I wanted to do when I was in my 30s and 40s.
Yes.
So I started to go to speaking training and how to be a platform speaker and to learn that trade. And as I developed that, people said, "Arson, do you have a book?" And I said, "No, I don't have a book."
Mm-hmm.
They said, "You have to have a book." And I said, "I can't write."
Hmm.
And they said, "Well, you have to have a book. If, you know, it's a speaker and author. They kind of go together."
Yeah.
You know, when any legitimacy at all to be on the stage, you have to have written a book. So
that's
okay, well, what will I write about?
Might as well.
I mean, if I got to write a book, what am I going to write about?
Yeah.
So I decided to write the book about what I call my signature story when I speak. And Dr. Shell, what that is that, see, I had two heart surgeries within 70 days of each other.
Oh, my gosh.
aggressive that for a minute. I had
That's
five
scary.
Bypass surgeries in October of 1999.
Oh, my God.
And then four of them collapsed in 30 days.
Whoa.
And so so through the grace of God and some people, I got a second opinion at UCLA. They said they could do the surgery when other doctors said they couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would be five times as dangerous as the first one, and I might not make it.
Oh my goodness!
But if I wanted to do it, I could. They would
go for
it. Would give it a try.
Yeah,
if I was up for it.
Yeah.
So we through a series of things we did this surgery. It was on the operating table for 13 hours.
My gosh.
Intensive care for 4 days.
Oh.
Then in the hospital for another 5 days.
Oh.
And actually came out of the hospital on the turn of the millennium.
Wow.
So I went in on December 15th and came out on the 30th.
Happy 31st. New Year to you, huh?
Happy New Year. It was a whole new life.
Yeah.
And so when I talk about that, and mm-hmm. when you mentioned about having an out-of-body experience,
right.
It was during that recovery period that a lot of that happened. So
wow.
I said, okay, that's what I'm going to write about.
Wow.
Because here's another, the story is that there's an old man on his bed.
Yeah.
And he's dying, and he knows that this is it.
Right.
And he's opened up his eyes, and he sees these figures standing around his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, my buddies. Oh,
yeah.
High school buddies who came to cheer me up.
Yeah.
And he said, and one of them walks over and grabs his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And says, oh, you know it's okay. You see, I'm your dreams.
Mm.
And he's your hopes. And that's your ambitions.
Mm.
And that's your talents. See, we've
wow.
been with you, but you never used us.
Wow.
See, and we didn't come to cheer you up. We came to die with you.
Oh, my God. Oh, and this is when you were recovering around the operating table?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was, that story is actually me.
My gosh.
I was that old man on the bed. I was going to die and take all my hopes, dreams, experiences, talents
wow.
to the grave with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that realization came, it was like, okay, you got a purpose in life. You want to make sure that
yeah.
not that many people go to their graves
yeah.
with all their hopes, dreams, talents, and gifts
mm.
within them. So that was the emphasis for that's the background for the book.
Wow, that's amazing. So all of these friends who were yours from even as early as high school came around your bed to visit you and said, come on now, we're with you. We've always been with you. We want you to use these talents. You've got more to do. You've got more to do, Arson. That is
yep.
really something. Well, I have not heard such a profound out-of-body experience. I've heard a lot of them before, but that was huge. That is just huge. So
yeah,
thanks for sharing that. Wow.
You're welcome, Doc. Thank you.
Yeah. So the first truth, we're talking about three big truths here, right? Three universal and essential
yes.
truths for your fulfilled and happy life out there from my special guest today, Arson Marsubian, also known as Papa Soup. It's the book we're talking about. Don't die. Come on. Get with it. Read this book, Three Essential Tools for Your Fulfilled and Happy Life, regardless of your age. So let's talk about the first truth. It's the universal truth of mind. What is that all about that we should learn?
Well, that was the most interesting thing when I was young and started listening to motivational tapes in the 60s. And what a realization that you can alter your life by altering your mindset.
Yeah.
And altering your beliefs. And, of course, that's what you teach, and that's what psychology is all about. And of course, and my favorite book says to be transformed
yes.
by the renewing of your mind.
What book is
and
that?
So it's the Bible.
Oh, yes. There you go. And a lot of people don't realize that, that is in the Bible. It's the oldest cognitive behavioral book in psychology in the world. Everyone, by the way.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Arson.
Well, yeah, so the way you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so many people, when they get to retirement age or they get through that period of time of work, and they just say, look, man, I'm tired. I don't want to read another book. I don't want to go out and learn another trade. I don't want to go out and do something. Mm-hmm. And so they just vegetate, and they're the walking dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
And I found out that, you know, here's another thing that was interesting, Doc, is that when I was in my 70s, I came back after the surgery, and I'd gone through a divorce, and I came back to Fresno, and my kids were saying, Dad, why do you keep working? Just, you know, they bought me a membership to a country club. So go
right.
play golf, man. Go do what old people do.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had a vision of what old people should do. And I thought, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So they were going to pay for a membership. So I started playing golf.
Yeah. Good.
And I was living a bachelor life. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. There you go.
But then after a while, I began to realize I was starting to be depressed.
Yep.
Starting to feel like, well, the walls close in. You know, the biggest decision you make is what pair of shoes you wear to match the shorts and shirts that you have on.
Boring.
Boring. You know, there's a thing in the book, and I love my guys that I played golf with.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years of playing 150 rounds, 175 rounds a year.
Wow.
So I was on the golf course quite a bit. It was fantastic. But the reality is that golf courses and country clubs particularly are cemeteries where the dead walk above the ground.
Oh, God. Oh, you're killing me, Arson. Okay, go ahead. All right, I'm with you. Okay. So you said, I'm out of here. I'm breaking out. Papa Sub is going to do something different in his life, right?
I'm going to start writing a book. And so the depression and everything went. As soon as I started to learn something new, I started to immerse myself getting into the computer, talking to people, going to seminars, and participating in life and being around people that were in their 40s and 50s and trying to learn and being involved and just getting out there. It was life.
Yeah.
It was life-giving.
Yes.
That's what I mean by transform by your mind.
Yep.
Learn something. Do something.
Right.
Keep your mind busy.
Right. And, you know, it is, there are so many studies that are really good, you know, statistically speaking, you know, helpful, informative reads about how if we keep learning, we stay younger, no matter what it is. Keep just finding out about something. And it's so easy to do nowadays because you just go online.
It is. If we have more knowledge on our phones than most of the world had for centuries.
Yeah.
And I'm always amazed. I'll say something to my daughter-in-law will grab her phone and Google it and say, no, that's not right, Grandpa.
No.
This is what it is and this is what it meant.
Yeah.
And okay, so we'll get it corrected, or she's going, you know, that's right.
Yeah.
That's what that says.
Yes.
But she can find everything instantly.
Right.
On the phone. It's absolutely amazing. There's no reason not to have knowledge.
Yes, exactly. And you really started reading and learning, and I love your references to The Secret, which we'll talk about a little bit, and, you know, all the other people that you quoted, Walt Whitman, it's hard to say that quickly, Dr. Anthony Campolo, and Bronnie Ware's memoirs, all that cool stuff that you share in your book. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, my special guest today is author, public speaker, motivator, everything. Arson Marsubian, he has created businesses, and he's also worked in the private sector as well. And also, something I want to touch on is his work in the mental health business, which I'm really interested in as well. But the book's called Don't Die, Three Essential Truths for Your Fulfilled and Happy Life, and we're going to tell you how you can get a hold of the book in a little bit as well. We're just trying to help you guys get going. Stop living this boring life on the treadmill and you know, take a step out, put your toe in the water, and just do some new things. You know, add life to your ears and ears. Actually, you can hear better too when you listen more. Anyway, guys,
I'm sorry, Dr.
No, Mike. Go ahead.
But when you said that, one of my friends that read the book early on, came back and said, "Arson," and the very, very bright attorney.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Arson," he says, "I got a great title. Your book's not titled right."
Yeah.
And I said, "What?" He goes, "Here's what the title should be. Add life to your years, not years to your life."
Yes. I like it.
And I said, "I like it." I said, "You know, that actually was one of the choices before I settled on Don't Die." And he started laughing at me. He said, "But that's what the book's about, is how to add life to your years, not just years to your life."
It sure is. You are so right. You know, I just wanted to touch on something that I found, that's great, that I found really cool in your book. It's about the power of learning, which we were just talking about. You share your words, your thoughts, that you believe that depression is caused when we start to internalize our problems and stop learning new things or developing talents we are given. And your conclusions are based on your observation of folks' behavior, because I know you worked at a couple of positions actually at, the state of California's Camarillo Mental Hospital. That is I have visited that hospital, and that is really a hard place to be, you know, if you're not, you know, really skilled in working with people with severe mental illness. So what are some of the things that you can share with us that you learned from working with those patients?
That was one of the great experiences of my career. I had just come out of college. Excuse me. A little background on that. I had just come out of college. I graduated with a degree in physical education, and had been in recreational work as I was going through school, and had a minor in recreation.
Yeah.
And so, but I couldn't get a job in my hometown as a coach. All the schools were full or whatever, and that's why I just didn't get hired, and I was looking for a job.
Yeah.
And I attended a recreation conference, and they were interviewing for recreation therapists. And so all of a sudden, the guy said, "Arson, I want to hire you to be a recreational therapist here at Camarillo State Hospital." He said, "I run the recreation section, and I would love to have you come join us." I said, "Well, I don't know anything about recreation therapy."
I've had
a couple of books on it, but
Yeah.
He said, "Well, this is what it pays," and I said, "I'll be there." And it was a job, and so I moved from Fresno to Camarillo, and I got in there, and they gave me a couple of wards to set up recreation for. I was in charge of the all hospital dance. I was a DJ.
Oh, fun!
I was the basketball coach. I had a bowling alley, so I had I was in charge of a full little 4-lane bowling alley that the patients set the pins and took care of. And Doc, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
So
just kind of did it.
When you don't have any idea what to do, what you're supposed to be doing, you go back to what you learn, right?
Right. Exactly.
And I had recreation classes. And so I had all these notes about how to socialize, how to what kind of games to play, and what kind of things to do to break icebreakers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Oh.
And within a couple of months, I had the biggest attendance of any therapist in any ward, in any activity.
Wow.
We had more people at the hospital dances. We had, you know, places were packed. Doctors couldn't understand what was going on. Patients were all looking forward to going to class and coming out. So they called me in. They said, "You got to speak to all the other therapists. Tell them what you're doing."
Yes. There you go.
No, that's a joke.
No, it's great.
So the final result was this. When I got up to tell them, I said, "Look, I don't know how to treat people that you say are sick."
Mm-hmm.
So I treated them like I would people who I think are not sick.
Yes.
And they loved it. because I didn't compartmentalize them. I wasn't smart enough to know that they had some kind of illness,
yes.
some kind of problem.
Yes.
So when we did icebreakers and we did games that we would normally do at a recreation center or a senior center,
yes.
they all responded.
Mm-hmm. And that's amazing.
And the other thing, yes. it was a real lesson. That we try to compartmentalize people and
yes.
say, okay, well, they're sick and so they need to do this.
Yeah.
The other thing that was, one of the things that was disturbing to me as a young man was that if I had a ward of 35 patients
mm-hmm.
and the doctor in charge of that ward was a clinical psychologist.
Right.
And he believed in discussing things.
Mm-hmm.
So we would then have the patients would have open time to talk, and they
sure.
would relate, and I'm this, and we would have that. Then that doctor would be transferred, or he would go someplace else, and then the next doctor would come in,
mm-hmm.
and he'd say, no, medicine is the way. We need
right.
to.
Right.
They would take the same patients
yes.
and give them medication. Next
right.
guy would want to do... shock therapy.
Right.
And I said, wait, they're all the same people, got the same problem. How come every doctor's doing something different to
That's
them?
That's right.
I said, I don't understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was disturbing. That was disturbing to me. And,
right.
and then the third thing I learned from the hospital doc, and you can probably attest to this more than anything
mm-hmm.
else.
Yeah.
Particularly people that have suicidal tendencies.
Sure.
They don't have anybody they can confide in, they can talk to.
That's right.
They are the ones who are always giving advice. They're the ones who are there to help others.
Yes.
And they're rich, they're successful, they've done certain things, but they don't feel that they have anybody that they can say, hey,
yeah,
I need to talk.
Ugh, it's so true.
And that's, and in fact, a few days ago, I went to a memorial service for a 59-year-old friend of mine.
Wow.
I was just in that kind of situation weeks ago shot himself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Arson, I'm so sorry. It's just...
Yeah.
You know?
And he didn't call anybody.
That's
he
right.
He just had so much problems and issues that were coming
yeah.
up in his
yeah.
life and personal things and business. But... Almost, it was such a shock because we all thought, no, he wouldn't do that because that's
right.
just not him.
Right, right.
And
that's right. He carried a lot of the weight on his shoulders of, you know, being that guy
yeah.
who helped others. And, you know, I think you're right.
Yeah.
A lot of people with, and they are chemical imbalances sometimes. They inherited. But also, I love
yeah.
your part in this book where you say each one of the mental patients lacked someone in their lives who truly cared about them. With who they could communicate. They needed someone to listen to their problems. And you talk about the importance of lacking any human connection. Many of them had given up on life mentally, and they were upset about it. They were bored, disinterested. Life had no meaning for them. It's all about socialization. It's about trying to interact and having people, you know, care for you. And I love your approach as well, where you just treated the patients like there was nothing wrong with them, like they were just the guy across the street who you're having a conversation with. You know, it's that whole healing philosophy. You probably heard about it, the Hawaiian one, Ho'onopono. Which says you treat the mental you treat the mental patients like they're just fine, and you have conversations and you just visit, and you know they're normal, you know, they're okay. You don't put them in a box and talk
yeah.
down to them, and you know what I'm saying? You just give
exactly.
respect
right.
and love like anybody else with any other kind of a medical issue, you know. So I think you're right. You're so right.
And that's what I learned at the hospital, mm-hmm. and it has served me
that's
well
neat.
In the other jobs and other professions that
mm-hmm.
I've had.
Mm-hmm.
That education that I got into, it was only a year
yeah.
that I was at the hospital before I came back to Fresno and started a
right,
career
right.
With the city of Fresno. But what a year. What a way
oh,
to...
Oh, man, you've got that
things
right.
things that I've learned with priceless.
You're such a giving person. That's another thing, too, and we're going to talk about the importance of that as well. My guest today is Arsen Marsupian, also known as Papa Soup. We're talking about his latest book, Don't Die, Three Essential Truths for Your Fulfilled and Happy Life, How to Get It Together and Be Healthy and Get Through a lot of things in our lives. And like Arsen has shared that he's been through a lot physically and mentally, but he is reading and writing books, amazing books, and sharing his wisdom from all of these philosophers. And it's all for you guys. It's all out there, you know, for you to listen to and read in his latest book. We're talking about, like I said, the truths for your fulfilled and happy life. And the second essential truth that you talk about is the universal truth of body. Now, can you share some of those ideas and experiences which led you to, you know, you talked about the body and, you know, some of the surgeries you've overcome. Yep. What's that about in your book?
Well, you have to keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, and the body in motion will continue to stay in motion until acted upon by an outside force.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, I'm not talking, people get bogged down mm-hmm. when they say, well, I don't want to run. I don't want to, you know, I can't run. My knees hurt. My legs hurt. You know, as we get older, there are ailments and there are limiting things.
Right.
But I'm telling you, you can garden, you can walk, you can swim, you can bowl. You can just walk around the block.
Right.
You can go to the gym and just do a little bit of exercise, do a little cardio mm-hmm. activity.
Right.
The point of the keeping the body active and moving mm-hmm. is that it fuels everything else.
Yes.
You have to keep that and to do something that's fun. I started bowling a couple of years ago.
Mm.
They bowled earlier when I was young, and they quit, and I just went back. And I have seen people in their 90s.
Oh, yeah.
People with walkers. Bowling is a fantastic sport for anybody over the age of 65 or 70. There's if you got time during the day.
Yeah.
Many of them bowl 2-3 times a week. It's, it's a great pleasure. But the important thing is that the body has to keep active or it will wither
yes.
and die.
No,
and,
it's true.
And you know, there's a one of the things we talked about in the book is that Earl Nightingale, one of the people I studied early on,
right? Yeah,
he said one thing in there that said that a man who does not read mm-hmm. is no better than one who cannot.
Mm.
And so, if you take that same philosophy into the body,
mm-hmm.
a person who does not go out and exercise is no better than a man who is paralyzed and confined to a wheelchair.
Wow, it's true.
And so you think that it isn't enough. You, yep. you look around and people who would do anything.
Yes, you're right.
To be able to get out of a chair,
yeah, exactly.
and walk down to the corner.
Yes.
To be able to do something. We're mm. so privileged
yes,
to be able
we are.
To,
we should
to have that ability to do it. We shouldn't yeah. not do it.
You're so right. And that's such a realization, you know. And people, I think we take advantage, we who, you know, are not disabled, per se, and even disabled people, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, in wheelchairs or on walkers or on canes or whoever, no matter what age, there are still things that people can do to keep moving. That's, oh, I love pools. I love nice, warm pools. Just kind of move around in the pool, you know, zero gravity there.
Yep.
But you're so right about that. Talking about Earl Nightingale's The Strangest Secret and being a major influence on you, and also that huge film, the blockbuster film, The Secret. What were some of the most important life lessons you can share that you got from that movie, The Secret, and also from Earl's speaking?
Well, I think that that's where the I never saw the movie.
Yes.
I learned all these things from okay. Earl Nightingale, from Jim Rowan, from...
Yeah.
Mark Victor Hansen, from Zig Ziglar, Dennis Waitley,
mm-hmm.
Dwayne Dyer.
Oh, yeah.
All in the 60s when they were all starting with cassette tapes and programs.
Right.
And Paul J. Myers. That's where I got my education. That's where I got my own personal motivation and development.
Right.
There are so many fundamental truths in all of those lessons that were learned.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people are talking about the law of attraction.
Oh, yeah.
The things that are out there now.
Yeah.
They all come from the same foundation.
Yes, exactly. Law of attraction has been around for decades. I mean, centuries, a couple of centuries, actually, if you look at it. But it's true, and it's all really saying the same thing. So, no matter where it's come from, like you said, Dr. Wayne Dyer, amazing. Louise Hay, she still is amazing. They're really all saying the same thing over and over about the power of the mind and the strength of how you can, gather from the universe if you get in touch with who you are and just believe in that inner strength and just get out and do things and create, find your own creative self. I got to send you a copy of the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Did you ever see that, Papa Soup? What the Bleep Do We Know?
No.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to send that to you. That's a good one. Okay, that's on my list.
All right.
All right. Well, it contains all of the same thing that Earl Nightingale was talking about and The Secret was talking about and all those concepts, that Esther Hicks talks about. They're all in there, so I'm going to share those with you.
Real quick, one of the things that I learned about from them was that every living creature and everything on Earth was first birth, then it grew, then it leveled out, and then it started to die.
Mm.
That is the cycle of plants, of humans, of everything else. The problem is that when the process of the dying starts, if you will infuse life into what was left, new birth of a new goal, of a new dream, you will start the process over again.
Yes. It's
so
true.
That is another secret to longevity and the mindset. And one of the things we talk about today is that once you reach age 80, have the mindset to live the next 20 years to get to 100.
Yeah.
So where are the goals and dreams and purposes of that, and not just waiting to die? And that was the process I had as well. I was old and, okay, I might live my life and just finished and done. I just, let me just, I'm going to die next year, so no sense starting anything. Well, 10 years went by and I hadn't died.
He said, hey, I'm still here doing stuff.
I'm still here doing stuff, so.
Yeah.
That's
right.
But that's the secret. Everything is, so if you want to start something new and you want to keep going, you have to change your goals and develop your goals and add on beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the circle of life, and it occurs.
True. And I really like also how I agree. You're so right on. You have tools also for readers at the end of your book. So we're going to talk about some of those tools in just a little bit that people can think about. Little homework you guys can think about to enrich your life and just have a longer, healthier life and stuff. So let's talk about your third essential truth, which is to have the universal truth of the soul. So what is that all about?
Well, we're all here for a reason. Mind, body, and soul is composed of what we're composed of. And that really gets down to giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about if I was going to talk about the essential truth of giving, that people would think about money. And they think about, that somebody's trying to get them to get into their pocketbook and shut off.
Right.
So when we talk about the soul, what we're talking about is being able to give your time, your talent, your gifts, your treasures to others.
Yeah.
To be more concerned about the welfare of others than you are about your own.
Yes.
And, how many times have you been to a nursing home or been to a place where there are people over the age of 65 or 70, and the major conversation is, who has the best doctor and whose ailment is the worst.
That's right. It's my pal, but you don't know about my back. Oh, my knee. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my aching.
Exactly. It's a contest. It's a contest.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
The hip is so bad. Oh, you don't know. You should see my gallbladder. Oh, the doctor said that it's the worst he's ever seen. My goodness, it's wonderful.
Let's just create that physical problem more and more in your mind, and you're going to get it, baby.
That's right. I'm not going to get well because I have nothing to talk about.
Except how unwell I am.
That's right.
Oh, God. But
the only reality is other people have to understand, if you're over the age of 65 or 70 and you wake up in the morning and something doesn't hurt,
hey,
you're probably dead. you're probably dead.
Something's
going to hurt someplace when you first get moving.
Yeah.
But you can't dwell on those things.
Yeah, exactly. You can't, just keep on moving, guys. And, I do work with a lot of, patients also who are young and have physical disabilities and a lot of pain or illnesses and stuff. And that's, they work with physical therapists and they have, companion medications. And, we just help them get going, kind of get up, get a plan, like you said, make a plan and find some goals, fun stuff, whatever. Do not do and live by what others want you to do. Find your heart and your own desires and just focus on those things. I love where you wrote here in the book. You said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." That is a lie. You say that bumper sticker sucks. I mean, that is so wrong, You say, why is that a lie? Why is that?
Because it's nothing but material things. That's the material world.
Yeah.
When you die, you don't take any of it with you. You can build all those things, and then they're left to do nothing but to give to the next group of people.
Yep.
What you want to do is to live a life that will live on in the lives of others long after you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's where life is, when you can pour your life into someone else to where it impacts them generations and generations down.
Yep.
It's one of the things to try to do with this book. If it will inspire somebody to do something better with their lives and change their, then it was worth the time and effort to write it and to get it done. So one of the things that the motto of my company, Sub Enterprises, is touching lives and transforming outcomes.
Yes.
That's what I want to do. I want to make sure that the lives that my life touches will have a positive impact upon those lives.
That's beautiful. That's what it's about.
That's what it's about. Because at the end of it, all of the material stuff that we gather and put together and we pay for in storage and spend untold amounts of money storing all of our stuff.
Yep.
When we die, it isn't worth the thing.
Yep. That's right.
We came in naked. We're going out naked.
That's right. That's right. So give, enjoy life, go within, find your highest joy, keep on moving, stay positive, create more and more. And, I love your part also in the book here. I think it's right around 104, you quote Dr. Anthony Campolo. He's that sociology professor at Southwestern. And also Bronnie Ware's memoirs. She was awesome, too, about the surveys of elderly people. So can you kind of share with us briefly what they wrote about, some of the most common regrets were from people who really were literally on their deathbed. And she went around and said, so what do you regret in your life? And took notes and wrote a book about it. But what are some of those?
She's amazing woman. When I was doing the research for my book and different things, and I ran across this article about her, and I contacted her and I said, you know, you're writing about things and I've already done, and I would love to be able to put it in my book.
Yeah.
And she gave me permission to do so. And so what is in the book is almost verbatim from what is in her book.
Cool.
And she was a lady in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But here were the things that she said she found out. There was five things.
Mm-hmm.
And number one was, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me.
Oh, that's huge. Oh, my God.
That's huge. Mm. That's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
My good friend Les Brown, one of the men that I was one of my mentors
mm-hmm.
early on, that's the guy that got me off the couch and back into the world, says that you do not let other people's opinion of you become your reality.
Right. Right.
And that's beautiful, and it fits right here. Mm. Have the courage to live your life true to yourself, not anybody else.
That's right. That is huge. That is huge.
And the second one really applies to a lot more men in the world, she says, is that I wish I didn't work so hard.
Yes.
You know, now that the women are in the working world, that a lot of them, they're finding that the same thing mm-hmm. is occurring.
Yep.
That they have regrets. You know, we get on a treadmill, we want to make sure we're raising our family and for the thing, but we don't have balance. We don't have the balance between the work and the family, and I'm very guilty of that.
Yes.
I tried to do everything I could and work.
Hence the heart attacks.
Didn't really have the time to do.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the third thing, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings.
Mm. My gosh.
See, many people suppress their feeling in order to keep peace with others.
Yep.
As a result, they settled for a mediocre existence and never became who they were truly capable of becoming.
Oh, my goodness.
Many develop illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they carry as a result. And you must see that a lot.
I do.
In your practice.
I sure do.
People resent that. They put that down and they resent it. They say, you know, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings.
Yeah.
I didn't tell that person how I really felt about it.
Yes.
And then ask, you know, get it out there, and then you can can resolve it. And sometimes you find out that there's no truth to any of it.
That's right.
That you thought that they felt about you or said about you. And it's really not true as soon as you get it out there.
That's right.
They have that conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the fourth one was, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Wow.
Huge.
You know, many had become so caught up in their own lives that they have let golden friendships slip by over the years.
Right.
There are many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and effort that they deserve.
Yep.
Everyone misses their friends when they're dying. I have a whole section in my new book, Heartbeat Away, Are You Ready? There's a whole section just on that one point.
Absolutely.
And being in touch with reconciliation and friendships and dying with no regrets.
Right. So healing.
And
the
fifth one, which is huge, I wish that I had let myself be happier.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. It is common. It's really common. Happiness is a choice.
Happiness is a choice.
Yep.
So is love.
Yes, exactly.
I can choose to love you. You know, love is a choice.
So true. Well, with that being said, we're running out of time here.
You're almost finished.
Oh, yeah. And I really want to let listeners know how they can get a hold of your book and find out more about you. What is the best way that people can go online and get the book, find out, read about you, and all the wonderful, helpful things you do for others?
Well, the best way and the easiest way is to go to Amazon.
Great.
Nobody beats them.
If you go
to Amazon and just put on Don't Die, and then the keywords are essential, fulfilled, and regardless.
Perfect.
But here's a code number that they can put in. It's a DP, and the number is 061-574-2068. If they'll just
Great.
Write that in.
Great. And that'll be in the archives, guys. On the show, if you
yes.
want. I'm so sorry, I'm getting the wrap up here from my engineer.
Okay.
I'm getting the cue here. But listen, this will be all up in the archives for your listening tomorrow, guys, if you missed any of this show today. Also, you can check out don'tdiethebook.com. Don'tdiethebook.com. Arsene Marsubian, thank you so much for being on the couch with me today. You're an amazing man and an inspirational leader and a great author, by the way. Thank you so much for sharing your book with us today.
Thank you for having me on, Dr. Michael. Appreciate it. And also available to speak to anybody if they get in contact with me at arsenethedontdiebook.com.
Perfect. Blessings to you, my man. Have a good one, and I'll be in touch, and we'll let you check out what the Bleep movie as well. All right.
Yes, thank you.
All right, you got it.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, this is Dr. Michelle, and thank you guys so much for being on the show and listening today. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And again, don'tdiethebook.com. Thank you again, Arsene Marsubian. Papa Sue, for being on the show today and sharing all of your wisdom about how to live a longer and healthier life. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you can stay on the couch for more great shows here on LA Talk Radio. Have a good one, and I'll be back next Friday at 11. Bye-bye.